Well, I certainly, again today, want to ask for your prayers. I have some scripture that I would like to share with you from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. If you have your Bibles with you today and would like to read with me, I would invite you to turn there to Luke chapter 14. And I want to begin reading with the 15th verse. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And I'm going to stop reading there with verse 24. And my title today will be this question, Will you come, or will you make excuse? Will you come or make excuse? And I want you to notice in this that in the 17th verse, there are some words that were spoken here by Jesus that I want you to particularly think about. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And I want to ask you today to think with me on that thought in it being applied to what we have before us here this morning in this service at Fairview Memorial. I believe the Lord has made all things ready. I sure do. I don't believe that he has left anything out. And I want you to know this, that, and I'm not promoting this, or I'm not recommending this, I'm just stating this as a fact. If you are looking for excuse to get out of anything that has to do with the things of the Lord, if you are looking for an excuse, you won't have to look very far because the devil has a list that's 10 miles long. I mean, he will give you as many excuses as you want. I believe, of course, in its strictest context, I believe this was in reference to the rejection of the Jews. I believe it goes along somewhat with what I tried to speak about last night. About how that the Bible tells us that Christ came to his own and his own received him not. And how that the Apostle Paul had even told them that it was necessary that the Word of God would first be preached unto them. But I want us to think today about how that this applies to us, because God is always extending the invitation. God is always giving the invitation. It is to as we find recorded in the book of Isaiah, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And so the invitation has been going out for many years, and it is still going out. And actually, one of the last things that we read about in the scriptures has to do with that very thing. And it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And so I certainly want to address you that are here today that have not been saved by God's grace, but I also want to speak today to anybody that has anything that you need to do for the Lord. I want to ask you the question today. That's what I want you to think about today. Are you going to do that? Are you going to obey, or are you going to make an excuse? Now, we see here in this in these verses that have been read that they didn't all have to use the same excuse. And I told you that, you know, there's a vast supply of excuses for anybody that's looking for one. You can find one very easily. But one of the excuses was, well, I've bought a piece of ground and I've got to go and take a look at this. I've got to go look at this real estate that I bought. And another one was, well, I bought some oxen. I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I've got to go see if they're any good. I've got to go and I've got to prove them. And then the last man there used the excuse of having married a wife, and evidently she wouldn't let him go. And so he said, I can't come either. And so they all found different excuses not to come to that which they were bidden. And that's exactly what the devil wants. That is exactly what he wants today. He doesn't want anybody that's here today, and I'm thankful that, we're going to get to observe this ordinance of baptism and administer this ordinance of baptism again today as a church. I'm thankful that Brother Sullivan was willing to obey the Lord and do what the Lord would have him to do without making excuse. But I want you to think about your own self today and ask yourself this question: what am I going to do today? Am I going to come to the Lord today? Am I going to be obedient to Him? And I want to say this, friends, that salvation, the salvation of your soul, does not come by works. It does not happen by works. It's by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And in Paul's writing to Titus, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he said that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Salvation does not come by works. But I want you to know this, that there is obedience required in order to be saved. You must obey the gospel. You must, and when we read in the Apostle Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, the Bible says that the Lord is coming one day in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you've got to obey the gospel. You have got to obey God's commandment to repent towards Him and to place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ if you're ever going to be saved. And when the Holy Spirit bids you come, and that's who does the inviting. You know, we only extend, it's not the church's invitation. The church extends the Lord's invitation. It's His invitation. And He invites us through the Holy Spirit. He bids us come to the Lord. Remember that in your life? If you're here today and you've been saved by the grace of God, do you remember that time in your life when the Holy Spirit of God was knocking on your heart and drawing you and bidding you and inviting you to come to the Lord? I remember that. And listen, had it not been for that, I don't think I ever would have come. The Lord was drawing me and the Lord was inviting me to Him. And if He's doing that for you here today, then you need to come to Him. You need to come to that which you are bidden and not make excuse. I'm going to promise you today that there's nothing as important as the salvation of your soul. Listen, whatever this man's piece of property, him going to view that piece of property could have waited. The man going to try out the oxen that he had bought could have waited. You know, whatever it was that this man's wife, you know, wanted him to do that caused him to not be able to come, could have waited. It could, friends, listen, it can all be put on hold. Amen. To tend to the things of the Lord. But all too often, it seems that it's the other way around. You know, if there's something going on and we find that obviously this was happening in the days when Christ lived and we see that it's still going on today, if there's something else going on, we've got to tend to that first, and the things of the Lord will just have to wait. We'll just have to put the things of God on the shelf until we get finished doing what we ought to do. But I'm going to tell you something. The end result of that in what we have read about here in the 14th chapter of Luke, those that made excuse here, they didn't come out very well. They didn't fare very well, because in the last verse that I read, Jesus said, "I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Remember what Felix said to Paul? As Paul reasoned with that man of the in the gospel, as he reasoned with him of righteousness and of temperance and judgment to come, and it got a hold of Felix to the point, I mean, it convicted his heart to the point that the Bible says that he trembled. But he said, "Go thy way, for now, when I have a convenient season, I will call for you." Or remember Agrippa's response as Paul spoke to Agrippa, to King Agrippa, and he said, "Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe the prophets." And Agrippa said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I'm going to tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, Agrippa was just fooling himself and he was just deceiving himself and lying to himself, because there is no such thing as almost persuaded. You're either persuaded or you're not. There's no such thing as being almost saved. You're either saved or you're lost. Almost persuaded is synonymous with being altogether lost. But we can sure deceive ourselves into thinking these things. And I'll tell you what, when we start making these excuses, the devil, I mean, he'll move right in. And he'll convince you. He will try to convince you that, you know, the excuse that you're making is legitimate. Well, that really is important. Listen, if you have paid money for five oxen, you better go try them and see if they're any good. See if you got your money's worth. And if you bought a piece of property, yes, you better go and check that out. And he will try with all of his wicked might to convince you that what you are using as an excuse is valid. And that is something that you ought to do. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing, I mean, there is absolutely nothing that you ought to put between you and the Lord. Nothing. It ought to be, if you're here today and you're lost, it ought to be your utmost priority to find the Lord. And I'm going to say this, if it's not, you're not going to find him until it is. It's got to be your utmost priority to find the Lord, to be saved. What about those of us that are saved? What about when the Lord knocks upon our heart? What about when he, leads us by his Spirit? The Bible says they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. What about when the Lord leads us of his Spirit to do something for him? What about if you're sitting here in this service today and you've already been saved and there's something that God is knocking on your heart to do, something he would have you do in your service to him, something he would have you to do to honor and glorify him? Are you willing today to heed that call? Are you willing today to follow the leadership of his Spirit? Or will you reach into that big, the devil's big bag of excuses for some way to get out of it? For some, way to find a way that you can say, well, I've got this reason or that reason not to do it. I'm telling you today, folks, all things are made ready. You know, the Lord, he prepared a way for people to be saved. He did not leave anything undone. He prepared a perfect plan of salvation whereby people can be saved. He prepared a way for people to become, when they are saved, he made the way for people to become a part of his church, for people to put their light upon the candlestick and unite with the church and become a member of the Lord's church. He made a way for all of those things. And I thought about in our particular service today that we even have the baptistry filled. It's even ready, and we're going to hear, if the Lord is willing, in just a little while, as I've already said, we're going to baptize Brother Chris into the membership of the church. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you've had an experience of salvation and you've never done anything with that, it's available to you today as well. I've got no reservations at all today. If you'll come before the church and give your testimony of salvation, I'll baptize you today. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with spontaneous baptisms. The Bible talks about them. That's exactly what that eunuch did. When Philip went to him and preached Jesus to him, and he said, "What hinders me to be baptized?" And the Lord said, "Well, the only thing that's hindering you is that you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And when he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved, he took him there and he baptized him. I'm going to tell you something. If you've been saved by God's grace, and you've been holding that in your heart, and you haven't confessed that, and you haven't professed that, and made a public profession, and have not followed the Lord in baptism, I'm going to tell you today, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. That's just the way that I feel about it, because of everything that he has done for us. If we're not willing to do that for the Lord, we ought to be ashamed of that. And I hope that you are, and I hope that you'll make things right, and you'll do what the Lord would have you to do under any circumstances. if you have an experience of salvation, then you are commanded by the Lord to put your light on the candlestick. You are commanded to unite with the Lord's church. You are commanded to receive scriptural baptism. We've even, you know, we even have in our church covenant that hangs on our wall and in the wall of most of our missionary Baptist churches, we even have in the last paragraph of that when we leave the church where we are a member, when we leave that church behind, that we are to, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we may carry out the work of the Lord in the spirit of this covenant. And I'll tell you what, perhaps today you need to do that. Perhaps you've been putting that off. Whatever that it is, I'm telling you today, all things are made ready. All provision is provided. The Lord provided for all of these things. And the only thing that stops any of us from doing that God would have us to do, is ourself and our excuses that we make. And well, I've got this and I've got that, or I need to do this and I've got to do that. Excuses. I'll tell you what, they won't get you anywhere with the Lord. Do you believe that you can push him away and not pay the price? I'm going to tell you, you can't. It can't be done. When we reject him and his bidding and his invitation, when we reject the Lord, we pay the price for it. We pay the price. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. We never put anything over. We never get over on the Lord, as the modern term is. Well, I really got over on that person. You never get over on God. You never pull the wool over his eyes. And I would encourage you today, whatever that it is that the Lord would have you to do, do it. Do it. If he's bidding you to come to him in whatever way that it is, if he's leading you to do something for him today, do it. God will bless you. He will bless you for obedience. He will bless you whatever that it is that he's leading you to do, however he's leading you, he will bless you for obeying him in that. There's two great principles that are taught throughout all the scriptures, and you just can't get rid of them. Well, I would say of the great principles that are taught throughout the scriptures, there are certainly these two, and that is that God will bless for obedience, and he'll punish for disobedience. And you can find that concept throughout all scripture. I'd like for us to, we're going to have the baptizing. I think that's what we need to do at this point. I'd like for us to begin to sing. Brother Ronnie, if you would, I'd like to ask Brother Sullivan to come forward at this time. And we're going to get ready for the baptismal service. But don't you let this or anything stop you. You do what the Lord would have you to do. You obey him today while we stand and sing.